May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this week, Jesus, our teacher, shares some lessons about family. First, he talks about marriage, and then he talks about children. So let's see what our Savior has to say about these two important aspects of family life. Some Pharisees in the crowd asked Jesus whether divorce is lawful, which, of course, it was under the Mosaic law. But Jesus also says something pretty challenging, both for his day and for ours. Jesus states, "Because of your hardness of heart, he," meaning Moses, "wrote this commandment for you." In other words, divorce, while technically allowed, isn't God's best. It is not his ideal intention for us. In fact, Jesus even goes so far as to say that those who remarry after divorce are essentially committing adultery. Not exactly the easiest thing to digest, to be sure. But I want us to appreciate where Jesus is coming from. Christ quotes from Genesis, where marriage is described as two becoming one flesh. Jesus doesn't take that phrase merely as some poetic metaphor for sexual intimacy, but as a description of a new entity, a united being, if you will, composed of two separate individuals who have bound themselves together for life. Such a life is indissoluble. At least, it would be devastating if you would try to break it apart. It would be like trying to divide up the members of the Trinity without their interacting with each other. Impossible, right? Or maybe like trying to pull organs out of a living person's body. Potentially deadly. Elsewhere, St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, emphasizes the sacramental nature of marriage as a living example of the kind of love that Christ has for his church. Marriage is meant to give us a taste of what a committed relationship of love with God can be like. All the joy, the support, and the reliable companionship that marriage is meant to embody, those same qualities Jesus wants to share with us in our relationship with him. So, backing out of marriage is not like canceling an Amazon order. It's more like taking a piece of your soul out of you. Nowadays, however, that can leave us in a bit of a quandary. On the one hand, we can treat divorce as casually as breathing. I know a clergy member who had to dodge his own mother to avoid her asking him to marry her for her fourth marriage. Such was the low regard that this poor woman had for what she was doing. Marriage was just a means to an end and not an end in and of itself. On the other hand, we can treat divorce as tantamount to blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, completely unforgivable. But if we do, we might end up committing some other sins in the process. Kelly once knew a man who literally rejoiced at the prospect of his estranged ex-wife's death because then he could remarry. In fact, he couched it in terms that made it sound like God had killed her in response to his prayers. Clearly, this man's legalism was genuinely causing him to blaspheme God, essentially accusing our loving Lord of murder, and that for the crassest of reasons. So how can we avoid these two extremes? How can we avoid treating marriage as lightly on the one hand, and how can we avoid treating divorce as something beyond the reach of God's grace on the other? Well, I think the key is recognizing that both gifts, forgiveness and marriage, what they're really about, creating an environment in which love can flourish. God gives us the grace of forgiveness so we can start afresh when we've made a mess of our own lives through our own sins, or when someone else has made a mess of our lives through their sins. Divorce results when sin is allowed to rule the day. Abuse, infidelity, misplaced priorities, unrealistic expectations, selfishness. It could be one party or both that inflict this pain. But we can forgive, and we can be forgiven. That's the essence of God's forgiving grace. Opening the door to a fresh start, allowing for a chance for healing, honesty, and amends to be made where possible, even for marriages after divorce. God also gives the grace of marriage itself. In marriage, we are given the gift of intimacy, both emotionally and sexually. We learn how to open up and rely on someone who is committed to us no matter what the circumstances. We create an environment in which we can hold each other accountable without fear or shame. We get to experience in some small way a taste of just how much God loves us, who's willing to commit to us in the covenant and closeness that is in ways that surpass our own mortal comprehension. If we put the proper biblical expectations on marriage that we should and treat it with the respect that it deserves, we'll find that our marriages can become consistent conduits of encountering Christ's love through one another. And if we're so blessed, we may even find that God adds the legacy of children, both spiritual and physical children, who can benefit from our marriages. Which, of course, brings us to Christ's next family teaching on children. Our Savior loves kids. Last week we saw that Jesus warned against derailing the lives of these little ones that were around him. And this week he goes even one step further, extolling the trusting souls that children have, that they're born with, in relying on their parents as an example to us of how we should approach our Heavenly Father. And then Jesus blesses them. In fact, that kind of unqualified, self-abandoned dependence on God is what Christ says will open up access to the kingdom of God for us. Can you imagine Jesus embracing you and saying words of blessing to you, letting you know just how precious you are to him and how much he loves you? Well, that's exactly the kind of relationship that's available to us if we're willing, like those children in the gospel story today, to let Jesus simply love us. If we're willing to put our inhibitions, our doubts, our worries, our barriers, our rationalizations away long enough to let our loving Lord pour out his goodness upon us from the bottom of his heart. Let the little children come to me, Jesus says. That's the greatest gift that we can give any child. To offer our own children and those entrusted to our care the chance to encounter Jesus and discover how much he loves them. There's no legacy superior to it. No bequest of millions, no Ivy League education, no sports scholarship will ever compare to introducing Jesus to them. We need to instill in our children a taste for spiritual things, teaching them how to pray, bringing them to church, reading them Bible stories, having them tag along with you when you go to serve the poor and the outcast and the downtrodden, letting them watch you as you strive to live out the love of Jesus, and being honest with your kids about your struggles as they grow older, even asking forgiveness from them for the times that you've messed up and how you've treated them. I can think of no more wonderful gift that a parent can leave a child than for them to see you and notice Jesus at work in you. Families continue to be the foundation stone of God's work in this world. Even those who are single or widowed will find that the church is God's family, with God as our Father and Christ as our brother. So we need models of Christ's love for the church in solid and committed marriages, and we need models of Christ's love for the world through our childlike trust in our Heavenly Father. That, of course, requires us developing a special set of skills. We need to learn how to forgive and be forgiven, whether married, divorced, single, widowed, remarried. We'll need to learn how to honor marriage as a sacrament of how much Jesus loves his church. We'll need to learn how to rely on God with the same kind of trust that our children have for us as their parents. And we'll need to learn how to pass on a legacy of vital faith to the next generation, whether our own natural children or children who look to us as spiritual parents. Indeed, my prayer is that even if you don't have any natural children around, God might open doors for you to usher many children to glory, as the writer to the Hebrews says this morning. Children who consider you true mothers and fathers in the faith. I fully trust that God will transform all of our families into vehicles of his love. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who sets the solitary in families, we commend to your continual care the homes in which your people dwell. Put far from them, we beseech you, every root of bitterness, the desire of vainglory, and the pride of life. Fill them with faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. Knit together in constant affection those who in holy wedlock have been made one flesh. Turn the hearts of the parents to the children, and the hearts of the children to the parents. And so enkindle fervent charity among us all, that we may evermore be kindly affectioned to one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.